Today, here in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Nedarim Daf Lamed Dalet. We are learning today Li'ili Nishmas Marcel Swergold Mindel Bas Sora, and we're learning Li'ili Nishmas Eric Livor Yehuda Ben Menachem Halevi, and finally Li'ili Nishmas Harry Weiss Chaim Naftali Hertz Ben Yehuda. All the Nishmas we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. In yesterday's shir, we had the first version of how we are to understand the machlokas between Rav Ami and Rav Asi as to explaining our Mishnah. Our Mishnah talked about a case where a person had lost something, Reuven lost something, Shimon found it, and under certain circumstances, Shimon was either allowed to or not allowed to return it to Reuven, depending on whether there was a prohibition, an eder, against Reuven giving Shimon hana or Shimon giving Reuven hana. We won't go through that explanation again, but we'll give the second explanation. Ikud demastin law b'hai lishna. There were those that learned this machlokas between Rav Ami and Rav Asi in the following manner. And we begin in the Gemara, seven lines from the top, ikud demastin. Ikud demastin law b'hai lishna. There were those that learned this machlokas, pligi bar Rav Ami Rav Asi in the following manner. Chadamar, again, we don't know which one said which. Chadamar, that our Mishnah is talking about lo shanu elo b'shenichse bal aveda. The bal aveda is always going to be Reuven in my examples. So the one who owned the property and lost it, so can Shimon return it to him? Under normal circumstances, when there's no nidorim. So of course, Shimon has a big mitzvah, hashavas aveda, to go return the object to Reuven. But here we're talking about where there's either one of them, asir, and the other, hanah, or both of them are asir and hanah from each other. So one of these two, either Rav Ami or Rav Asi says, Chadamar lo shanu, or Misha is only talking about that you're allowed to return the article, Ela ke b'shenichse bala veda, when Reuven, the owner of veda, is asurin al machzer. His property is also on Shimon. He's asur, he made an eder that Shimon, you can't get benefit from me. Now Shimon wants to return this aveda that he found of Reuven's. The only reason you might think that he can't do that, because he's not getting any hanah from returning it, is the hanah that we spoke about yesterday, prutas de Rav Yosef. The prut of Rav Yosef is a situation that he's now osek b'mitzvah, so if a poor person comes to him and says, listen, I can't give you money, I'm going to miss my bus, I won't be able to return the aveda, I can't stop to give you money right now, so he's benefiting from not having to give that penny to tzedakah. So mishum pruta de Rav Yosef lo shliach. That's something that doesn't really occur very frequently. That's not a real benefit that he's getting. The likelihood of a poor person coming to him and he can't take a dollar out of his pocket and give it to the poor person because he's such a rush, he's so osek b'mitzvah. So therefore, the man diomer, either Rav Ami or Rav Asi, says that's not a concern. And even though Shimon is also to get hanah from Reuven, he's allowed to return the item. We're not concerned about pruta de Rav Yosef. However, avo nechse machzir asur mabal aveda. If Shimon is also to give Hanoah to Reuven, so now when he returns the object, so lo mahadle, he wouldn't be allowed to return it because according to this opinion, this man the Yama holds, Mishum Deko Mahadile, I'm returning your object to you. You're now getting a benefit. It's his object. And yesterday we said, everybody agrees that since it's Reuven's object, it's not called getting Hanoah from Shimon because it's his own object. So here, this man the armor says, no, when Shimon returns it to Reuven, and Reuven's not allowed to get Hanoah from Shimon, that returning it is Hanoah, even though it's Reuven's property. And therefore, this man the armor says, Shimon would not be allowed to return it to Reuven in a case where Shimon is forbidden to give Hanoah to Reuven via the neder of Reuven. And when we learned in our Mishnah that in a situation that Shimon is not allowed to get Hanoah from Reuven, that money or the finder's fee that they would normally give to a person to compensate him for the time that he took off to return the object. So if Shimon is also to get hanah in such a place, b'makom, that the custom was that the person returning a lost object got a compensation, he got a $10 tip. So then in that situation, he would have to give that money. Reuven would have to give that money since he can't give it to Shimon. Shimon's also to get hanah, he has to give it to Hekdesh. But that only applies when Reuven is not permitted to give hanah to Shimon. So therefore, the money has to go to Hekdesh. But in a case like this, where Shimon isn't allowed to return the object, so obviously there's no finder's fee, the hamakom in the place where that's the custom wouldn't apply in this scenario. Now we go to the other man diomer. Again, we don't know whether it's Rav Ami or Rav Asi. The Chadamar, the other one said, no, afilu nechse machzer asurim abal aveda. Even in a situation where the nechasim of the machzer, where Shimon's properties are asurim on the bal aveda, on Reuven, and certainly if Reuven's properties are usher on Shimon, then mutter. In both scenarios, you're allowed to return it. Because the chima hadale, because when he's returning it, so midei dinafshei komadale. This is like we said yesterday. When Shimon's returning it, even though the nechosim of Shimon are aser on Reuven, so seemingly Shimon can't give benefit to Reuven, but he's not giving him benefit. He's just returning him his own lost object. And certainly the other way around, if Shimon can't get Hanoah from Reuven, so there's certainly no problem with him going and giving back the property to Reuven, and just he can't take the finder's fee. The finder's fee has to go to Hekdesh. So that's the other Chad V'Omar. That's either Ravami Ravasi's understanding. Now, we're going to go and ask a Shaila from our Mishnah on the first version that we just said now, the first opinion. Tanan, Malkum Shinotlin Aleh Aschar, in a place where the custom was that they would go and give a finder's fee to the person returning it. They'd give him a compensation for his time spent. They give him a $10 tip. So, Tipol Hanol Hektish. So the Mishnah said that Shimon, when he can't take that money, so that Reuven has to go and give that money to Hektish. So in that scenario, when Shimon can't take it, Reuven shouldn't benefit. Now, Bishlomo Mandiomer, if you say, according to the second Mandiomer that we just said now, Afilu Bishenichse Maser Asurma Balaveda, that this is allowed to be returned even when the Nechosim of Shimon are Aser on Reuven. So then in that situation, Mahad, we said you're allowed to go and return it. So therefore, since Shimon is not allowed to give Hanoah to Reuven, so Reuven must pay the money, otherwise he's getting Hanoah from Shimon. Oh, I know the Batar, it's in a Mokum, in a place where the custom was that Shimon should get paid a finder's fee, a compensation for his time lost by returning the Ashavas Aveda. So if Reuven doesn't give that to Shimon, so then we have a problem of Reuven getting Hanoah from Shimon. Oh, we understand, that's the Mokum, that it has to go to the Hekdesh. Hi, Nudim Atarit Smokum. That's why we understand the Mishnah telling us. However, according to the first version, which we said that Shimon is not allowed to return it. If Reuven is also to get an offer from Shimon, so then Shimon can't return it to him. Even though it's Reuven's, we said, according to that first opinion, that you're not allowed to go return it. When Shimon is not allowed to give Hanoah to Reuven, so then, v'lo mahadir, he's not allowed to go return it. So where do we have a situation? According to that first version, under what circumstances would there ever be that Reuven would have to give the money to Hekdesh? Because Shimon can't give it to him. So there's no finder's fee. So therefore, Kasha the Gemara concludes, that's problematic. How do we paskin? So look in the round, four lines on the bottom. He says, Linyan halacha, kai malon, we paskin, the bein b'shenichsi maser asur na bala veda, bein b'shenichsi bala veda asur na la maser mahader. We paskin like the Linyan opinion that says that under all circumstances, even when Reuven is also to give Shimon Hanoah, or when Shimon is also to give Reuven Hanoah, Shimon is allowed to return the object. We're not concerned about prutas of Rav Yosef, and we're not concerned that he's returning him something that he's benefiting him by returning to him because it's Reuven's own property that he is returning. Now we turn to Rana Dalib on the base. The Rana explains at the very end of the Dibra Maskel or Risha, which is the second round on the daf, why this is here. If you look in the last line or two of that round, he says, V'ha da aisi hocha. Ha! Why is this upcoming Gemara that we're going to bring in here, this Amar Rava, why is this being brought over here? Memra de Rava, Mishum de Dam Yalei Lahach Abaya, de Boy Mine Revchia Bar Ovin. Because we're going to have something in a moment, after we learn this first part, we're going to have a question that Revchia Bar Ovin asked to Rava, and we need to establish what Rava's opinion is first before we can get to that question. So that's the purpose of bringing in this Gemara right now, which seems to come a little bit out of left field. In any event, Amar Rava, Mara tells us, a person finds a kikar shel hefker in front of him. The previous owner made it hefker, and he now comes within dalet amos of this item. It's not in his own rishus, it's in the rishus rabim, and he comes within dalet amos of it. And under normal circumstances, when you become within dalet amos of something, it becomes yours. So here, the person sees this kikar that belongs to Hefker, but as the Ran will explain, he doesn't intend to automatically bring it into his own Rishus. And in fact, by making it Hektish, he demonstrates retroactively that he never wanted it in his own Rishus. And therefore, this kikar remains Hefker until the person now says, V'omar, kikar zu Hektish. He wants to make this belong to the Beis HaMikdash. He makes this Hektish. And therefore, it never came into his own possession. And therefore, if he forgets that he made it hektish, he gets distracted. And then he goes to pick it up. Say, wow, that looks like a great piece of cake. And he's about to put it into his mouth to eat it. Nitala la'ochla, if he picked it up with the purpose of eating it, so then he's moel. Me'ilah occurred over here. It's an inadvertent taking of something from Hekdesh. If you take it on purpose, it's not a din of Me'ilah. Din of Me'ilah applies when you take it inadvertently. You forgot that it belonged to Hekdesh. You didn't realize it was Hekdesh. And you either got benefit from a Vashava Pruta or you used it in some way. So in this situation, he picked it up. He acquired it. He changed the ownership from belonging to Hekdesh to now belonging to himself. So in this situation, Mo'al Lefi Kula. He's Chayiv a carbon me'ilah, and he has to pay back the principal and the chomesh. And how do you calculate the principal? It's the entire value of the kikar, because he usurped the entire thing. He did me'ilah on the entire kikar. So let's say the kikar is worth $10. So he has to go pay $10, and then he has to add on a fifth, which is $250, which is a fourth of the inside, which is the fifth of the outside. So $10, a fourth is $250. When you add it together to the principal, it's $1,250. So the $250 is now a fifth of the $1,250, or it's a fourth of the $10. That's how we calculate a chomesh over. So it really means a fourth, and when you add it on to the principal, it becomes a fifth of the total. So this person is over me'ilah. He has to bring a carbon me'ilah. He has to pay back the principal, the $10, and he has to pay back the $250, which is the chomesh. That's when he picked it up to go and eat it. However, if he had in mind lahorisha levana, he picks up the loaf not to go acquire it for himself. It retains its status of belonging to Hekdesh. So he's not maul over it, right? When he made it Hekdesh, so he's allowed to pick it up and bring it to Hekdesh. That's not a problem. But he says, oh, my sons will inherit this after I'm gone. But he wasn't maul on it right now to the full extent that this loaf of bread went from Hekdesh's property into his own. So it doesn't belong to Hekdesh if and when he dies and his sons take it over. His sons will be maul. So in this situation, it still belongs to Hekdesh, but his sons say, oh, look how good Dad is to us. Dad's so nice. He thinks of us all the time. So that's called Tovas Hanor, the fact that there's engendering a positive feeling towards his sons. So therefore, the sons now say, Dad's such a nice guy. So the Me'ilah occurs in this situation for the Tovas Hanor. Mo'al lefi Tovas Hanor Sheba. So he's, in fact, being Mo'el in this situation for the nice feeling, the amount that nice feeling is worth. Let's say that's worth $2. That nice feeling is worth $2. Somewhat subjectively, it's calculated out how much it's worth. So then you would have to bring a carbon me'ilah, because the me'ilah, as long as it's more than a penny, you bring the carbon me'ilah. But here the principal will only be $2, and then the chomesh would be 50 cents, which is a fourth of $2 or a fifth of $2.50. So therefore, Rava is making a point over here to say that there are slightly different dinim in this situation. And just to review quickly, and this is what the Ran says, and I'm saying this outside, the top Ran is a long Ran. So the Ran is telling us over here that, number one, normally, under normal circumstances, if you would go and be within Dalet Amos in the Rishus HaRabim of this Kikor, it automatically would become yours. If you were subsequently to be Makdish it, so then, even if you picked it up, L'Achila, it's still in the Hekdesh's possession because you gave it to Hekdesh. So now talking about that. Here we're talking about that he never picked it up. He never acquired it for himself. He only acquired it for Hekdesh. And as the Ran says, right in the middle of the Ran, he says, retroactively, you see in this situation that he did not want to pick it up for himself. And therefore, Goli Adaiti, it's on the first of the middle-sized lines of the Ran, Goli Adaiti de la Hekdesh Nichale, he only wants it for Hekdesh and not for himself. And therefore, if he now goes in the Tola Liochla, so he's taken it from Hekdesh and brought it into his own property, and that's why he's Ma'al Fi Kula. But if he only picked it up to be Morisha to his Banav, so then it remains in Hekdesh's status. He never was Ma'al from Hekdesh except for the Tovas Hanah from it, and that would be Me'ilah for himself for the Tovas Hanah. If and when he dies and the sons go and take this, so then the sons would be over Mila at that time for Kula, for the full amount. Okay, so that sets us up to now ask, this is what the Ran explained, we needed to know this statement of Rava in order to now have this additional question that Rav Chiya bar Avin asked to Rava. So we continue in the Gemara. Boiminei, Rav Chiya bar Avin may Rava. Rav Chiya bar Avin asked Rava, based upon what you just said, we have the following Shaila. Kikari Alecha. If a person says Kikari, now, the Ran explains in this situation that the person is making two seemingly contradictory statements. When he says kikari, that implies that only while it's my kikar should it be also to you. But then when he says olecha, it's like saying this kikar should always be also to you. And the question is, in this situation, does he mean that it should be always also to the person? So Reuven says to Shimon, kikari olecha. my loaf over here is going to be asur to you with a neder, so does he mean that it's permanently asur, only while Reuven owns it is it asur to Shimon? That's the question. What happens in this situation where Reuven then gives this unisono lo b'matana? He gives it over to Shimon as a matana. Rav Chiya bar Rav asks Rava, Mao, what's the din in this situation? The two seemingly contradictory implications, which one is correct? Do we say kikori? And yes, it's also while Reuven owns it, but the minute Reuven doesn't own it, in the situation here, he gives it to Shimon, the son of Matana, so Shimon's allowed to benefit from it. Or do we say, no, olecha, this is the equivalent to saying, this kikor is always asur to you for all time. And therefore, even once it's given over to Shimon, it remains asur for Shimon to get any benefit from it. Now the Gemara explains this inside what I just said outside. Do we say, Rav Chiya bar Rav says, kikori, on my loaf, my loaf of bread is asur to you, meaning only ki isa birushu say, only when it's in my Reuven's possession, the asur. In that situation, is it considered asur? But once nisana lo b'matana, now it no longer belongs to Reuven. Now it belongs to Shimon, het to Gomer. Or do we say no? Odilma, no, the other way around. Alecha Amar, he added the words Alecha, and therefore those words Alecha are the equivalent of saying Odilma Alecha Amar le ilave shavise hektish. I made this kikar for all time to be asur to you, and therefore even if I give it to you, it's still going to be asur to you for you to get hanor from it. So that's Rav Chiya bar Avin's question to Rava. So Rava responds, Amar le, he said back to Rav Chiya bar Avin, simple pshita, it's obvious. The Afa gav the Ovale b'matana, even though Reuven gave this kikar to Shimon, and it's no longer in Reuven's possession, asur. It's asur. The Alecha is the critical fact here. Because otherwise, if you don't say that, then why in the world did he say the word Alecha? Elo, kikari Alecha, lafuki mai. What possible reason would the word Alecha have if it wasn't to go and asur it to Shimon for all time? Now, are you going to tell me, Lav lafuke di ganva mine mignab? Are you coming to tell me that the word Alecha is to exclude a case of where Shimon stole it from Reuven? Now it's mutter? That's ridiculous. Of course that can't be it. So since the word Alecha isn't coming to tell me the case, right? The Ran and the first explanation of the Rush both say there's a Lashon Bismia. Really? Are you telling me over here that this is the purpose of Alecha is to tell me that in case Shimon steals it from him, it's still Osir. But if he gives it to him, it's Mutter? That's ridiculous. Why in the world would he have a Havimi to think that if Shimon stole it, that it would be Mutter? Of course it's Osir. I don't need anybody to tell me that. And therefore, you need the word Alecha. Rava tells Rav Chiya bar Rav to teach us the case that even when Reuven gives it to Shimon, it retains its original status of being asur to Shimon, and even after Reuven gives it to Shimon, it retains its status of being asur. So therefore, Rava answers Rav Chiya bar Rav's question, saying the word Alecha is the critical phase over here, not kikori, only when I own it, but certainly if I give it to you as a matana, it's going to be asur to you, even after I give it to you as a matana. Now the Ran does point out that in a situation where he gave it to someone else, and then someone else, he gave it to Levi, okay? And then Levi goes and gives it to Shimon, the din would be different. In any event, the bottom line is that Rava tells Rav Chiya bar Avin that kikari Alecha, even if he gives it to Shimon, it's still also to Shimon. Rav Chiya bar Avin is not happy with this answer. Amalei says back to Rava, no, lo. Maybe the word Alecha is lafuke di asminei Allah. You know what we're talking about here? Reuven invited Shimon over for lunch, and he gives him this kikar. So in that situation, Alecha means, since I still own it, it's still going to be asur to you. But tak, if I give it to you, it's not going to be asur to you. That's what Rav Chiya bar Rav says back to Rava. And you can see this last line of the Ran. Kolomar, Leolam, in fact, Rav Chiya bar Rav tells Rava, the word Alecha, emelecha, di'yav, lebi, matana, shayale. It's actually permissible because kikari. While it's my kikar, it's asur. And if I give it to you, it's no longer my kikar, and it's mutter to you. Why do you say Alecha? The kikamar le Alecha, the purpose of Alecha is lafuke, to exclude the case. The asmene Allah titzar le. It's a teaching that even though Reuven invites Shimon over, when Shimon's eating it, it still belongs to Reuven. And that's why it would be asur if Reuven invited Shimon over, the kikar would be asur. But if Reuven gives it to Shimon, Kikari. It's only when it's Reuven's that it's Aser, and now it's Shimon's, and it's actually Mutter. So that's what Rav Chiya bar Rava says back to Rava. And we turn to Lamed Hei Omen Aleph, where the Gemara is now going to question Rava's understanding, and ultimately will support it. The Gemara says, Eisve, they asked Rava the following Shaila from the following Brisa. If a person says, Amar Lo, Reuven says to Shimon, Hashileni Parasucha, please lend me your cow. And Shimon says, I only have one cow, and therefore I can't lend it to you. Amar Lo, Shimon tells Reuven, to prove to you, to really show you, I'm not a bad guy. I only have one cow. And the reason why I'm not lending you the cow, as the Rush says over here, is because I need the cow. So I only have this cow. Yeshli paro elazu, ulazu ani tzarech. And I need this cow. So therefore, he wants to demonstrate that he's really telling the truth. So he says, konei paro, this paro should be offered to you, shani koni lucha, that I have. Or he says, not only this para, all of my nechasim should be offered to you if I have more than one cow. In other words, he's making a strong statement to show, listen, I'm not a bad guy. I would have been happy to lend you the cow, but I only have one cow and I need it. And to show you how much I really mean that I only have one cow, this cow should be offered to you if I'm lying, or all my possessions should be offered to you if I'm lying. And it turns out that he, in fact, does have more than one cow. We'll get to that in a second. Or, in a similar case, where Hish Ileini Kardumcha, Reuven says to Shimon, do me a favor, lend me your shovel over here, your spade, your Kardum. And Shimon tells him, Armalo, listen, I only have one Kardum, and I need it, I can't lend it to you. So he says, Konim Kardum Shieshli, it should be Osir, my Kardum that I have, or he uses a Lashon, Shani Konui, that I bought. So this kardum should be also to you if I have other kardumim, or nechasai, now we have the Girsa Olai, but if you look in that goes, it's Yunim, Oz Gimel, he says it should be Olecha, parallel to the first statement, all of my nechasim should be also to you, im yeshli kardum elazeh, if I have any other kardumim. Now, v'nim tzoshi yeshlo, both in case one and in case two. And again, all the Lashonus over here, the statement, he says it should be also to you if I have another paro, or if I have another kardum, it goes in all the statements that were made beforehand, and now it turns out that he really did have another paro, he did have another kardum. So therefore, the nether takes effect. So, b'chayav aser, during the lifetime of Shimon, who said, this should be aser to you, Reuven, the paras, or the kardum, should be aser to you, Reuven, either all my properties, or just the para, or all my properties, or just the action, be aser to you, depending on the lashon that he said, because I had more than one para, I had more than one kardom, so during the lifetime of Shimon b'chayev aser, that's what the Brisa says. However, mace, when Shimon dies, or oshenitna, that's the way we pronounce this, shenitna, not nesana, as we'll see in a second, oshenitna lo b'matana, or if Shimon in fact gave it to Reuven. So either after Shimon's death, meaning it's no longer Shimon's, or if he gives it to Reuven, it's no longer Shimon's, hare zeh mutter. Now that's exactly like what Rav Chiya bar Rava said, and therefore, kasha tiyufta on Rava. So how does Rava answer? So I'm Rav Acha b'rei d'Ravika. So Rav Acha b'rei d'Ravika responds on Rava's behalf, and he says, look at the word, it says, shenitna lo ayidei acher. It was given over to him. Shenitna lo implies that someone else gave it over to him. And I'll show you that this is right, Amar Vashi. Daikanami, look at the language. Diktani shenitnalo. It says it was given over to him passively. Someone else gave it over to him. Not that Shimon gave it over to him. Veloktani shenisanulo. Doesn't say that Shimon gave it over to him. And as I pointed out before, if there's a Levi in the picture, then everybody's in agreement that it no longer belongs to Shimon. And in this situation, Reuven is allowed to get benefit from it. And therefore, we're dealing over here with a third party. When there's a third party, all bets are off. Everybody agrees that even though in our case of the Gemara, where Rav originally said, Kikari Olecha, in that situation, everybody agreed that if it was given over to a Levi, then you are allowed to get benefit from it. And in our case over here, with the Parah and the Kardom, if there's a Levi involved, somebody else was given the item, the Kardom of the Parah, who then subsequently gave it to Reuven, so then Reuven is allowed to get an off from it. And therefore, Rava is supported and substantiated over here, and it's not a kasha on Rava from Rav Chiya bar Rava and this Brisa. Okay, this is a good break point. It's a short share today. With this, we conclude today's share.